This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Remember, when you walk out here, woo, talking...
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Don't think you can walk in that ring and give me a hand or try to help me out and ease the tension in our relationship.
Mike Shope.
The Rolex. Wearing diamond ring, wearing kiss stealing, woo!
The Bulldog.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
On WGR.
And we're doing it better than anybody else alive.
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, the latest thing that I've done that has absolutely no point is with Joe telling us that Paul told Joe yesterday that he is landing in Las Vegas before 4 o'clock and would text Joe when he was on the ground. And right at the last break there, Joe is like, he has not texted me yet.
Mm-hmm.
That has not happened yet. So I go to Flight Tracker to try to find Paul's plane.
And you're now just yelling out random planes
yes,
that are flying into Vegas. Oh, look, here's Rome.
Rome to LAX. I saw that. I don't think Paul is on that plane, but I don't know what plane he's on. Yeah. If I did, this would be kind of cool.
Right. Because you could be able to tell. You'd be able to tell.
Yeah, we'd have our answer.
Here's where Paul. Here's from Paul's landing.
If I knew Paul's flight number, I would just type it in and find out. But I don't have that.
No.
We usually don't go that far with Paul
in the
preparation.
I don't feel the need to pry.
He never has. We never even asked for what's your flight number.
Yeah.
So I don't have that. There was or still is a Southwest flight from Buffalo to Vegas that I think leaves later.
Okay, that wouldn't make sense for it to be that flight.
No, I think it leaves later, but I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Yeah.
But just looking at this map makes me all excited about going back. Like, look at all these people. Don't you? I love that flight tracker. I love it. And sometimes they go by our house and we bet on what the plane is. And the last time we did this, I got it exactly right. It was like Minneapolis to New York or something. And I got it exactly right. And people were impressed with that. I love that. And all these people just moving around up there, like 12,000 planes in the air at once. Right now, it's 12,000 planes. Just blows my mind.
That kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Not in a good way?
Yeah.
You don't like that?
That's just a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot of hardware up there.
It might be more. Maybe it's like 112. I don't even know. Yeah. It's probably, maybe more than that. How many? No, I think it's like 200,000 some in a day.
Okay.
And 12,000 at a given time could be right. But which one is he on? Don't know.
All we know is we don't have them now.
We don't have them now.
That's the point here. We don't have them now. We're hoping to have them later.
Feelings on the Sabres are welcome. Is Rasmus Ristolainen going to be traded? We're guessing at that. Wondering about that. Other moves. David Clarkson, his name was on Twitter today from a Vegas report, speaking of Vegas, that they might not have room for him. Now, I don't get that because he's hurt, and shouldn't that just be taken care of? But maybe this is a situation where some team will use David Clarkson as cap space,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And maybe you get something useful from Vegas. That's where he is, I guess. He never played for them, right?
No, he hasn't played for either of the last couple teams that he's been credited as being on.
Columbus?
Right. He never played a game with them, did he? I don't think he did. I think he went there hurt and...
His last games would have been with the Leafs?
I think so. I think he went there hurt, and they traded him for another hurt guy, Horton.
Nathan Horton.
Played for Toronto. So, I'm not sure how that all works.
But that was to Toronto's benefit because Horton was going to come off?
Yeah, I think.
No, they were taking on, like, cash. The Leafs,
okay,
the advantage of the Leafs was cash. that Columbus didn't want to spend, but Columbus would take the cap penalty or the cap restriction.
Okay.
So I think that's it. But yeah. Toronto had the real money.
Okay. So certainly.
Which is Buffalo? Is Buffalo a team that we'll spend the real money? That's what we kind of think, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to be?
Right.
We're one of those teams that would take on a player like that, a situation like that?
I think they're, yeah, I mean, that's, money doesn't seem to be an object, which is why it was so interesting to me that, you know, it sort of cropped up within this, you know, this conversation surrounding the Ryan O'Reilly thing last week. Because that seemed to be driven maybe somewhat by money or largely by money, as far as the timing of the trade, not the removal of him from the team and the locker room and all that. But it may have driven a bad deal to some extent, and that's a little freaky. But yeah, I don't think like when there are teams in the league that if they're negotiating with their potential unrestricted free agent, like the Sabres were with Jeff Skinner, and a big thing for the player is, hey, what years is there a chance of a lockout? Those years I want my money on July 1st. I want 7 of my $9 million in the form of a bonus on July 1st. That way, if the league shuts down on the 15th of September, you can't touch me. I got my money. There are teams in the league that would balk at that. Like, we're not going to pay out $7 million and have you not play this year because we can't do it that way. But the Sabres, I think, are a team, and the breakdown of the Skinner contract indicates as much. They've done that with a couple of the years in there. And I don't know what the reasons for both of them, but, you know, lockout protection would seem to be
lockout
a good
protection.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I need that.
Yeah.
I need that. How do I get that? How do I get lockout protection?
We're lockout protected.
We worked through it.
We just worked. That's right. That's right. We ground our way through an entire season with no hockey.
Yeah. Well, just like to see a playoff team someday. Again, either one of them, like a good team. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the Bills be a good team or the Sabres be a good team. And
this is a good time of the year to think about. I'm. You wrote today. I'm going to write later in the week. And what's on my mind is that my anniversary is tomorrow, and so that's 20 years,
right,
for me and my wife. And that's also 20 years since the Sabres were in the Stanley Cup Finals. And yeah, you know, they had a couple of good teams sandwiched in there in kind of in the middle of that. Not quite in the middle of it, but whatever, 2006, 2007, those were great Sabres teams, but they didn't even achieve that result. They fell a round short of getting to the Stanley Cup final. So we're on 20 years, and yeah, like when does this all change? Like when do we have a good team, a credibly well thought of contending team? And like you today, I guess I could work the Bills into that too. Because, you know, this is our existence, but the date tomorrow is, you know, we got married on the day of game 6, by the way, in case I didn't say that. Like, that's tomorrow's the 20th anniversary of that, the last time the Sabres were in the finals. And, you know, 20 years. It's a haul, man. And we're not close right now, right? I mean, that's what you were saying last segment. Like, I don't feel like we're on the cusp of something here. You know, I recognize that it can turn quickly. So you make the right move here, or moves, and improve your roster and get an injection of youth that, you know, you maybe weren't expecting, or you were just hoping, but it comes through instead of letting you down like maybe last year Mittelstadt did, rather than have that happen. Victor Olofsson shows up and he's just scoring goals. And like, wow, look at this. What a gift. On a rookie contract, too. Like, that's the kind of thing that can propel you from, I don't think they're really that close, to, hey, wow, look how they do that. Well, here's how. We got a guy making .975 and he's scoring 30 goals. I mean, that'd be pretty neat to have. But, you know, saving that, like, I'm not ready to bank on that. And, yeah, it doesn't feel like we're that close to anything.
It's tough. I mean, Dahlin is so cool. He and Eichel was this, and Eichel can still be cool. But Dahlin being younger, it's what a sports fan wants. It's having him on your team, having a player like that, that you can think will be a great player, one of the best players in the league for a long time, playing for you. That is what Eichel is, and that is what Dahlin is for me in this point. That is the best. Having that is the best. And Eichel is on he's going to play 10 or 12 years for the Sabres. And Dahlin hopefully will play at that long or longer. I mean, that is great for you, the fan. The winning should come with it. Or it doesn't, not that it has to, but if your team is out of it, like the Sabres have been out of it, it's spoiled. The other thing is spoiled by that. You know, for a lot of people. For me, the number one thing is, can you win? The number one, by far, interesting thing about the Bills and the Sabres to me is how they fit year to year in the conversation about a title. That is what it's for. That is what pro sports to me is for. It is for that. Can I win a title or make the playoffs? Whatever your goal is. You know, we talk about it all different ways. Mike Trout, right? Like, say I'm an Angel fan. The best thing about my life as an Angel fan is Mike Trout is on my team. And at some point, 5 years ago-ish, you wake up to the realization that this guy is great, and he plays for me, and hopefully he always plays for me and is always great, and everybody else can be jealous of my team. This is the best player in the game, one of the best players ever. I've got him. And then years go by, and like, I'm not an Angels fan. I don't know any Angels fans, but you get to a point where you're like, well, we're never good. How much is this really worth for me?
Right.
What is really happening here? This guy is the best player in the sport. My team is, he's never been to the playoffs. And so what is happening? Then he signs this year, which is great. Like, again, I'm that fan, so I'm happy about that. But my team can't figure out what to do to get good.
Right. So how into them are you really?
Yeah. So like, it's just more upsetting. The careers of Eichel going by and Dahlin, it's only 1 year, but if that continues and they're just going by, like, it's just that much more interesting and that much more frustrating when you have those players you expect to be like a good team, if not the best, you know, Edmonton and McDavid. They had one flash where they got to game 7 in the second round. Otherwise, same thing. What is the point of having this player if I can't win? You know? Other sports, you might think, depending on what position the player plays in football maybe or something, like, are you more likely to win or less likely to win? In hockey, I think I should at least be – I've got two of these guys.
Right. That is supposed to be the advantage. I mean, I appreciate – that they are in tough with their bottom six, but you're supposed to be able to figure that part out.
That's the easy part.
Right, you should be able to figure that out. I have a very difficult time because I think I get so frustrated about it that it seems like I'm disputing the point. And like, I respect the point. Like, it takes a full team. But I got the hard part. I did the work, you know. I did everything I needed to do to get the hard part right, and then on top of that, I fell ass backwards into a second chance at it, and then won it. And so I got another one of those guys. And what am I doing here? Like, I should be better than this by now. I mean, I just can't. It blows my mind. We're going to be into year 5 of Jack Eichel, and like that, we're still talking like this. It's incredible to me that's happening. And, you know, yet furthermore, and this is just part and parcel of what the sport is like and just how random it can be, you know, there's Edmonton, there's Buffalo, like you said, they've got their fancy lottery wins and their number one picks or their number two picks, and they got all this, they have the hard part done. And then you're playing in a sport where the Islanders lose their version of that guy for nothing. He just walks away from them, and they improve by almost 30 points and went around in the playoffs. Against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, by the way, if you want it. What? Like, what am I doing here exactly? Like, what am I trying to accomplish? Stockpiling these picks and having good lottery odds and all. What is going on? It's very frustrating.
You have to know what the good players look like. That's it. It is frustrating, especially when I think it's just sharper minds out there who can figure that out. I mean, yeah, the hard part is getting your way to those top guys, and the Sabres have done that. And like everybody would like to have those guys, but the rest of it is just drag them down so badly that they can't even get to 80 points. I mean, what's the last year they got to 80 points? Is that rough?
No, Bylsma's first year they got to 80
they
points.
They did?
Yeah, they had that strong push at the end. I think they might have topped out at 82 or something.
82?
I think that's what they did.
Okay, then 82. But it's not even good. So
No, it's not.
The other, like, use the data. Use the information. Don't look down on it. Use it. Figure out who the good players are and who the players on your team there are that are holding you back. Sobotka, there was no, the one, I'll just preface this by saying, the one thing that this point leaves out is the locker room. And this is why I don't want to hear about the locker room and I don't care about the locker room, because performance comes after that, and performance you can read. So whatever is happening in the locker room is just there, but it cannot be a driving force in what you're doing. And so maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. For whatever reason, Phil Housley and the Sabres used the heck out of Sobotka. And it was evident that that was getting them beat. It was getting them nowhere. There was no value in him. So what do you do about that? This is the earlier point. When do you call the situation? This is not getting better. This is not worth. Eventually, the Sabres with Matt Molson. Eventually, I don't remember like the dates, but eventually they got to that point with Matt Molson, where they said, "We can't go any further." But they could have also said that a year or more earlier, and they didn't. And this is one reason why you're losing. One reason is that you're signing him in the first place, and the next reason is that you won't stop. You won't take him out. And so what does that come down to? Of course, that isn't the lottery, Sobotka. What does that come down to? Stubbornness. You know, you can think, I don't have other options. You can think the other guys that I might put in are young and they're in Rochester and I'd rather have them be in Rochester. But that does not really hold water for the Sabres because of Thompson. Thompson was also, you know, below replacement level and playing all the time for them, and he was young. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is apparently they didn't know who was bad or who was good. Like, they just did not evaluate that correctly. I know how ridiculous that might sound. How would they not know that? How would they not know, you know, just because they played him doesn't mean they thought he was great or something like that. But Housley would defend Sobotka, and you didn't know. You didn't know what he thought he had in that player. And there's really no excuse for that. So, yeah. And by the way, the Angels have these two. The Angels have Sobotka sort of situations too.
Yeah, right.
Like, why did they do that?
Right.
But that is the Sabres. You have these gifts, you know, with a T, gift, on the roster, and you can't make it work. And there's O'Reilly, as I wrote in today's column, throwing a pie at your face. You know, like, that, it's embarrassing, and it should be doable. Paul is on a plane. Paul has said, I don't think it's reasonable to expect the Sabres to turn it around. Like, it should take a long time. Like, the Islanders, what is the counterpoint to the Islanders? Coaching? Well, they did change coaches here.
Yep.
So maybe that will mean a lot. I want to be optimistic about that. They also sat there with their last coach as it deteriorated and they plummeted and left it to do, you know, to do that without changing something, without changing the roster significantly, without changing the coach. And who won the cup? A team that made a coaching change in the middle of the season. Also, they changed their goalie. I don't know. The Sabres weren't really going to do that, I guess, but not like they couldn't have.
Right. I mean, they could have acquired someone. They didn't have someone waiting in the wings who was 25 years old and, like, just, oh, let's give this a shot.
They did not have that exact guy.
Right. But they could have found a guy like that. I mean, Bennington was just sitting out there languishing in the minors.
Goaltending for me is, and this is in my column too, like, defense is obvious that there needs to be big changes, and forwards too. Goaltending, I don't expect any changes, but, I mean, do I expect, should you expect them to be good? Like, there was promise with Ullmark, and that really went sour last year. So I don't know what they think they have or what they really have. Two different things in net. 803-0550. We've been talking about the Sabres for an hour and a half. Most of it is at least a little bit depressing. And it is gorgeous out. We don't have Paul. We'll get Paul, I assume. But I'm definitely we're not going to be able to find out how many Fidos there are. I don't. Is there a way to find that out? Is there a way to answer the question how many Fidos there are in Erie County?
I don't know. Does everyone who has a dog have it registered with the SPCA or like the vet? No is the answer to that. So that, but there is, some people do. Like, so vets offices would have a log of dogs in their names.
A dog
like
log?
When our vet's office calls, they, you know, say, hello, Mr. Parker.
Do they ask for?
No, they don't ask for Fred.
The dog?
Or Pearl used to. But no, they do say, I'm calling to let you know that Fred's shots are, he's in need of this and this and that. Like, so they, you know, they have the dog's name there.
You want the vet's office.
So vets all around the area would have some idea of how many Fidos there are.
I'm going to call my dog. I'm going to call our dog doctor right now.
Yeah.
And see if they'll tell me how many Fidos they have.
There might be some sort of like vet dog privilege thing there.
Right.
That might prevent you from getting an answer.
Absolutely. There might. Hey, HIPAA, what's the worst that can happen?
HIPAA laws.
There might be vet dog privileges, but what's the worst that can happen? We can't tell you that. I will call. I'll make that call right now. Right. At least I'll try. I want to find out. 803-0550. You can call us. We'll see about Paul. We'll get him. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. The Sabres, the offseason. Let's talk. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, obviously, Golden State just got knocked off in the finals. They're looking like it's, they're potentially more vulnerable next year. And, you know, we're set up. We were the best team after the All-Star break. You know, we got a mid-level to spend. Maybe we pull off a trade that gets us a potentially another superstar. So we're pretty excited right now.
That's Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets GM. Where is that from?
ESPN Radio.
All right. There's a report in the last few minutes, that I just saw it anyway, in the last few minutes, that Chris Paul wants to leave the Rockets.
To go to the Lakers with Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving and LeBron James? No.
I don't know.
Just kidding.
Just wants. Maybe that's right. I don't know.
There has been some reported tension between him and James Harden. They reportedly got into a fight after they lost to the Warriors.
NBA free agency will be massive again. Be massive and maybe controversial.
Probably.
Well, only probably.
If Durant stays in Golden State, Kawhi stays in Toronto, and it seems like everyone kind of thinks Kyrie's going to the Nets. Like,
then that's kind of it.
That would kind of be dull, I think. But, right, there's a potential for it to just be nuts.
You know, like the Lakers, what makes them so special?
The market, history.
Sucky reasons, right? Come on. L.A. So you're the Lakers, and that's why LeBron likes you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that's why the next guys like you. That's why Anthony Davis likes you. I mean, they're dysfunctional.
No, yeah, they're a mess. But they are a storied franchise in all of sports, not just in basketball. So like that, you know.
That's more important.
Sure.
No, you're right, though. The Clippers should be a more hot destination.
Yes.
Like the Lakers have been described as kind of a mom-and-pop shop at this point. The buses, like, that's their big business.
Family business, right.
Whereas the Clippers have Steve Ballmer, who's like a billionaire, and they run a pretty tight ship over there. They have Jerry West running the show. So, like, if the history and all of that didn't matter, the Clippers would absolutely be a better destination. But the Lakers are getting all the stars.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Kawhi will go to the Clippers.
Yeah, that's
he will. They're one of the betting favorites for.
That's
for
that. Right. That's right. That seems very possible. But they, you know, I'd like to see that. I'd rather see him go to, like, I don't know, who's really needy? The
Memphis.
Hornets. Yeah, Memphis. Some team like that where you go, wow, this guy, like Reggie White going to the Packers. Remember that? Wow, I can't believe he went to the Packers.
Right.
Who does
so,
that?
So, like, the exact opposite of Kevin Durant going to Golden State, basically, right? Just, like, go somewhere where you can elevate the team rather than glom on to somebody's title.
Okay, well, let's get this right then. And I'm not sure. Like, I might need somebody who really knows the league better than I do for this. But I'm thinking about the fans here. In this context, I'm mm-hmm. thinking about fans who feel just ignored, like we do, maybe. Mm-hmm. We can't get that. Why do the Lakers get that? Because of the Lakers? Because of Magic Johnson and Wilt Chamberlain? I mean, great setup. So I'm thinking about people who might just like, wow, is this guy really going to choose us? That would be great. And you don't have the Warriors to beat anymore. It'll be different next year. Decisions that happen this year in that league will be different. What Durant did was that was right after they won 73 games and then lost in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he chose them. That's not a thing now.
And came from 3-1 behind to beat his team.
Yeah. Like, that's not a thing now. You're not trying to beat maybe L.A. The Lakers, I think, are the favorites with what's happened with the trade. Like, but it's all pretty even.
Yeah.
So you can go. I mean, some teams, this is what I mean by somebody who knows the league better. Some teams are really bad. I don't know, are the Hornets really bad? And so, like, Kawhi Leonard or somebody goes to the Hornets, it doesn't really matter because he's not going to salvage that. Is that probably right?
Yeah.
So he wants – where do you want? You want him to go to a – like, the Clippers are okay. They were in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that sounds pretty good. And a half dozen or more other teams, at least 10 other teams would sort of fall into that category where with this guy it gets interesting and there's mm-hmm. no dominant team in the league.
Right. And that's better, I think, for more fans than having just, you know, two or three teams that are realistically have a chance. I think that's the fact that the Warriors, well, A, they lost, and, you know, the injuries played a huge part in that. But, you know, Milwaukee's good, Philadelphia's good, Toronto's good. I mean, Toronto was good without Kawhi Leonard. They just weren't able to, you know, they weren't going to beat LeBron James and the Cavaliers. So, like, they did something dramatic, and then that went away on its own, too. We're probably, with the Warriors, whatever happens this year, whether they dissolve because guys leave or just that those guys are hurt long-term like they are, for at least this year, you've probably got more teams that'll have a shot than have had a shot in a long time in that league.
See, now, will that be interesting to you? Because it's always both. It's always for me.
Right.
It's always both. It's
right.
Like fairer and better in a competitive way, but not more interesting.
And probably better for the Minnesota Timberwolves fans. But I am not a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, so I don't really care.
Like, are you going to watch? What kind of meaning will the regular season have?
None.
The regular season.
None. I'm never going to watch it.
In the Warriors era, if I can put that in the past tense, like the Warriors era. Those were spectacles, those games. They weren't, like, that important. None of those games was that important.
Right.
But that was a spectacle. And then it was a matter of, can they win again? And they didn't. So that was interesting the whole way, at least from the second round on. They did lose a couple games to the Clippers. But from the second round on, it was good. Like, that was exactly as advertised. And so next year, like, the Blues for me, switching to hockey, where it's more like that all the time, the other way, competitive. It's, you know, it's cool for St. Louis, but mm-hmm. like, what kind of meaning really does the championship hold? It doesn't really have a lot of meaning. You have to win a few times. You have to win over and over. You have to be like what the Blackhawks did.
And that sport, it just doesn't happen in that sport.
It's
It's hard. I mean, you know, the Penguins going back to back is that was a great job. But yeah, I mean, I think as a casual fan, the Warriors work great for me. And wherever LeBron is, usually this year was really an aberration. We'll see if it's an aberration. I probably it was. That works great for me. But as a hockey fan, I with a team in the league, I want to know that I'm not chasing uphill. Like Tampa needs to sort of get dissolved at some point because I want a chance. And I can't have them. And I think the way the cap works in the NHL makes it very hard to keep that together for that long. You're going to have to divest yourself of, you know, some veteran who's making, you know, your middle class of your roster, not the very top of it, but you're going to have to get rid of some guys because young guys have to get paid. And young guys get paid sooner than ever now, and the bridge deal is not, you know, teams want to lock those guys up so they don't have to pay more in 3 years than, you know, they'd rather have you at a, like Kucherov's a great example. They've got him at a nice price, and they're all set. And if they'd done a shorter-term deal and he's an MVP candidate, then they're looking at paying him, double, you know, $12 million a year.
But they did lose.
But they did lose.
They lost in four in the first round. So for all their greatness, a season that would have been remembered for them, now it's all screwed up. Which, you know, so what? Whatever. You like the sport. I like it when a season, when you have greatness. But I recognize, like you said, and we've talked about this many times through the years, like Buffalo, you have to have it this way to have a chance. If this right. if we were in the NBA, come on, like it would be,
who would we be?
Who is sort of the saddest? I mean, right. It would be tough. Cleveland, unless you have a guy
sure,
that
right.
is from there.
That, Cleveland without LeBron James is really where you are. Yeah,
yeah. So, John Beilein, by the way, I like it when you get like real bigger meaning. And that was like I said this about the sixth game of the Raptors Warriors. I watched the end of that again last night, too. When that was happening, I could not sit down. The timeouts, there were a lot of stoppages, like often happens in the NBA. A lot of stoppages in the last couple minutes. Not even at the very end when you had those dumb replays, but before that, I could not sit down. I'm standing up. I walked to the TV to look at it more closely. Like, this is the end of this game, maybe the end of the series, probably. Then it's the end of the era, maybe, because you've got the injuries now. You didn't even know if Thompson was like badly hurt. Turns out he was. And for the fans there, it's the end of that building. Like, the building doesn't mean anything to me, but it would matter there. All of that happening, like, in those few seconds. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't have to be that much, but when it is, it's gripping. Mm-hmm. The Patriots, somehow, someday, there will be this kind of moment, or there could be. It doesn't have to be like this, but maybe had they retired after last year's Super Bowl, then we're deprived of like that moment when, is this it? And that will just be so powerful when we think maybe this is it. And the, you know, what's fun about with sports, like, you've had times when we thought about the Patriots, okay, this is it. This mm-hmm. is going to be right. they're done. Whether it's like losing to the Ravens in the AFC Championship game at home, or just like different, he's old now. This is probably, and it's still going. Maybe the Bills can actually somehow be the team that just like puts the dagger in it,
right?
Somehow, either with a, you know, a hit or
an important win. Season that, yeah, right, is really significant. Like you are clinching something and you're knocking them out. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like you really just sort of, like almost like a vampire comparison there. Like you just kill it. You just,
right.
This is now a new time.
Sorry, I just said, oh, my God, because it just seems so far-fetched.
Yeah.
Ah!
Well, I think someday that will happen. Somebody will do that. Somebody will just crush them, and it will be over. You know, whether, like, all the great teams, that they have that. You don't know at the time necessarily that it's going to be over, but you can, you know, well, you find out, and it can feel like it is. You find out. I don't know. That'd be great. Ready? The Patriot thing, it just has to stop. It's not interesting anymore. It's not fun anymore, if it ever was. Just, they just have to, like, the Super Bowl's ruined, wasn't it? Was it interesting at all? It wasn't even a good game, really. Just like, oh, they won. What do you even say about that? You can't take what the Patriots have been any higher. There's just no higher place. They're already like, this is amazing. 20 years. You can't, there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So just end it. Somebody end it somehow. Just have it end. And then it can be kind of interesting again. Maybe this year. 803-0550 is the number. Lines open for you. We've talked a lot of Sabres today with the draft coming up and the possibility of trades. I mean, we're hoping that there will be trades. Maybe we always are. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here for your calls on WGR. Right.
Bidding continues at WGR550.com for the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament, which is going to be Monday, July 8th at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. We're auctioning off the opportunity for you to play with, well, any of the on-air staff here at the station, plus other celebrity guests, Danny Gare among them, Andrew Peters, Brian Duff, Dan Dunleavy, basically your Sabres broadcast team. There'll be other names added, or you can just book your own foursome, you know, bid on that, and you and three friends come play rather than being burdened with my lousy golf playing. Again, you can find all the details on that at WGR550.com. It's a full day of food and drinks and prizes and autographed memorabilia for auction, etc. The WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament, Monday, July 8th, presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra.
Really, I shouldn't just sort of take this from you. You can do the same thing, but I'm just thinking of it. If you bid on me and you win, I will tell you about what happened today with the salad in the office. I will tell you that story. I'm not sure I want to tell it on the air because it involves someone who works here. But
it was
something amazing apparently happened. I didn't see it. Bulldog told me about it.
Joe and I witnessed it, and it was spectacular.
I will tell everyone I know about it. I just won't say it on the air. I'm sorry I missed it. I would have loved to see that. And I probably would not have been able to hold my tongue. I might have said something like, are you kidding me right now with this? So if you...
Well, we were, Joe and I were in the control room, and you were sitting in here. So if you had looked up, you would have seen the same thing we saw. And there, I mean, I could have run out there and opened the door and said something, but it would have taken some effort. Like, it wasn't like I just walked past the person, you know, and would have had an opportunity. Like, what?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
You say it maybe in a funny way that doesn't look like you're just like incredulous.
Right.
Because that can be awkward, but yeah. But you have to win me. Like, I will only tell the person, I will only tell my group.
Okay, right. All right.
If you come up to me at the golf tournament and ask me about Saladgate, I will have to check to make sure you're the person that I'm playing golf with. Then I will tell you. That's how that goes. I probably was trying to make a trade or something. That's why I didn't see it.
Hmm.
I'm going to use an F word to describe my current fantasy state of mind. Later.
Okay.
There's a word that starts with F that describes my current state of mind for about the last 2 or 3 days.
Oh, I know what the word is. I can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell.
I think you probably can.
I know the word.
Will Rasmus Ristolainen be traded? A lot of speculation, this Pierre LeBrun speculation as well. Will it happen? Should it? 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We've not found Paul. We think he's in the air heading to Las Vegas. If we find him, we'll talk to Paul, assuming he's available. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.